This podcast is brought to you by Art Margins, the online journal of East and Central European contemporary art. Download more podcasts and read interviews, articles, and reviews at www.artmargins.com.
This is Natasha Drubik interviewing Václav Kadrnka, a filmmaker from the Czech Republic. His rather exceptional film could be seen at the Berlinale this year in 2011 and now at the Carlo Vivari Film Festival. Hi.
Hello.
80 Letters is about the attempt of a woman to join her husband who left socialist Czechoslovakia in the 80s. The film shows us one day in her and her son's life. In March 1987. I wanted to ask, because I was interested, the film is called 80 Letters, but it ends with the 44th letter. What happened with the other 36, and did the woman emigrate in the end?
Yes, it took 80 letters for us to join my father, actually. That's why it's like it's also an information about time, the title of 80 letters. My mother actually wrote 80 letters to my father.
So you now gave it away that it is an autobiographic movie.
Yeah.
Or is that a movie? It's a, yeah, I would call it a film. In the film, there is also, the name is not changed. The woman's name is Helena Kadrnková,
yes.
And there's also, as they call him, Little Václav. So why did you decide, is this your feature debut?
Yeah, this is my feature debut.
So why did you decide to do an autobiographical film as your first?
I wanted to make a personal film. I want to talk about something which I know about, which I experienced, which is part of my memory, part of my life. And this film is also about the period my country was in the 80s, which is it was a communist regime, it was a totalitarian country. So I wanted to capture this, my sort of recalling my emotion of that period, but mainly I wanted to make a personal film.
How old were you then?
I was 13 when my father had emigrated, and I was 14 and a half by the time we got to London.
87. Did you personally already know that there's something happening in the Soviet Union, like Gorbachev and etc., or was that only later? In 89 and
we knew about certain differences or different kind of thinking, but it wasn't really you couldn't feel it because we were living like in the middle of totalitarian state, and it was meant to be forever.
That's what I also felt in the film, that there was no hope at all.
Yes.
That anything would change and that it's really to stay there forever.
Yes, it's. I wanted to tell the story from the perspective of the boy, because this is what I remember. I couldn't understand the regime at all, but I very, very strongly felt the pressure. I felt the kind of endless hopelessness or whatever. So I really didn't want to look at the time from above, as you usually do when you make a usual narrative structure. But I wanted to tell the story from the perspective of someone who's walking through this landscape, who's in the middle of it. So that's why it's the tempo is slow and it's pretty heavy in a way. So you feel the heaviness in a way, the pressure.
You are leading me to my next question directly. I wanted to ask you about the rhythm and well, also the framing of the film. Often the cuts come very late, and you can think, oh, what is coming? Or the all the human figures already left the mise en scène, and you only have, you know, for example, a staircase. So we are confronted with a lot of empty and also ugly spaces, or we consider mm-hmm. them ugly, but they still kind of bear this memory of that time very much, concrete and steel, sort of cheap steel handles, etc., and the sounds with them, coming with them. I was reminded of the French filmmaker Bresson. Would you see any kind of kinship with him?
I like him very much, actually. I admire his films a lot. Mm-hmm. But I was really mainly I was inspired by my memory, and I think you know, it's always the details that take roots in your memory, that stay in your memory. So that's why you see a lot of close-ups, and you hear the sounds exaggerated in a way. It's a very static film. I use photographs a lot because it's a part of the past, part of the memory, that you really recreate something from the past. And I wanted the characters to, when there is a certain scene and they leave the image, I wanted to stay a little while, you know, and just sort of capture the frozen time, because I think that was like a principle for me to make a film about memory, about something that you, it's in the past, it's very personal. And it's also a question of the sounds. I remember certain sounds very, very clearly. Even now I remember, I could recognize the sound of my mother's steps anywhere, because it's something that you really, you don't know about it, but you really feel it. And I wanted her to have this really specific walk, which is strong and sort of determined in a way. So I wanted to use this really simple images and sounds, sort of to recreate something I remember.
So did you start with the sounds?
Yeah, some of the scenes were first we sort of wrote down sound of a certain image.
Really?
Yeah. For example, the scene with there's also a lot of voiceover, but that's something else. For example, the scene with in the waiting room in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have a specific rhythm. I wanted to I started a little bit. Steps, and then I wanted voices to add, and I also wanted to use slamming doors, because just sort of to give this impression of a place where people are hidden behind doors and they are deciding about your destiny. Mm-hmm. Actually, so it was really very cold and anonymous places. But I'm a big fan of Robert Bresson, but I'm also a fan of Jean-Pierre Melville or Carl Dreher, and I think they are sort of similar in a kind of, in a way of using images and sounds, using reduction in a way that you really think about image, and you try to make it, you know, to have some kind of mystery or to have some kind of hidden meaning, but to use it as a metaphor in a way. So I like this kind of minimalistic approach.
Yeah, you also had the Estonian composer Arvo Pärt in as a soundtrack, recorded in 87, I noticed.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
that on purpose?
No, it was a coincidence.
Coincidence, okay.
The piece of music is called Pari Intervallo, like a few intervals, and it works with these faces of this interval, these faces of these children. It's actually a real photograph of my father's classroom, and the boy in the back row, it's my father with a blurry face. And it really exists like that. He's a,
yeah.
this naughty boy in the back. It's always the naughty boys who sit in the back.
Of course, yeah. Have your parents seen the movie?
Yeah, they watched it last year, and they attended the premiere.
Okay.
They liked it a lot, actually.
Okay, I can imagine.
I was really waiting. I was
Nervous.
very very nervous because
Yeah.
it was very important for me to not to betray, these letters and the story. So, but I think they were moved in a way because they recognized this emotion. They recalled the emotion, from that time.
One question. You didn't tell us yet whether, well, you said the emigration did take place, actually, but as far as I understood, you studied at FAMU and you are now living here again in the Czech Republic, already in a democratic country. So that means you didn't stay in England where the emigration was headed.
I came to England. We came in 1988, and I went to school and I finished my GCSE exams. Then I went to college and I studied theater studies. And after my exams, I went just for a holiday to Czech Republic. But I fell in love and I stayed in Czech Republic. But my parents, they were traveling. They went to Saudi Arabia because my father got work there, and this is another something. But they're back in Czech Republic also right now.
Okay. Emigration means something different in every culture. It's very different when you had, for example, Jewish or German emigration to America in the 30s, or you had emigration from Ireland in like the last century, etc. Czech emigration always, to me, I think it's interesting. It has this tragical undertone that people actually do not want to leave their country, but they feel they have to because, I mean, they felt they have to because of political reasons. I thought you summed this rather well up in this scene with the painted egg,
Yes.
but maybe I'm seeing it too
No,
symbolical.
you're right, absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
So can you maybe, do you want to say something about it
Yeah,
or?
sure. I think, emigration is a part of European history since, I don't know, it's something that I was myself, I was very surprised that so many people came to me, even at the Berlinale, and they told me they had a similar kind of experience. They went through immigration. They know what it is like to leave your country,
Yeah.
to sort of be captured in this timeless space when you're leaving something behind and you don't know what to expect, something in front of you and you don't know what it is. And of course, there are political reasons for people to immigrate, but there are also reasons, personal reasons,
Yeah.
and
Migration.
yeah, sure. And Czech Republic is a small country and in the heart of Europe, and we have this saying that every time history just rules over goes over the Europe, it takes the Czech people sort of have to move. And I think everything is part of our history since Middle Ages. Comenius went through immigration, and it's something I realize now how actual this theme is for my country and for Europe also.
So you don't remember this as something traumatic?
Well, I was 13, so for me it was very difficult because I come from a family and we always had a very strong relationship. So I felt this tension, and I was really sad because I couldn't be with my father, with the person I loved most. But my father left that country because he just couldn't. He wasn't a dissident or he wasn't a writer or anything. He just couldn't express himself freely and he couldn't breathe. In Czech Republic, that's why I left. But it wasn't that dramatic. It wasn't the 50s when it was much more dramatic period for Czechoslovakia. But I like this feeling of someone. I remember this very clearly. This feeling of leaving one space behind and having another one in front of you, and you really feel things in a different kind of way. Sort of. you're not sure what's going to happen, and it makes you, in a way, it makes you free. You see things that you wouldn't normally see, maybe. You mm-hmm. experience things or feel things that you... And I think it's really very, very important for a person to lose this kind of sureness, you know, to not be sure.
Do you still have ties with the country your family emigrated to?
Yeah, I still have friends in England. Mm-hmm. I keep in touch with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, my last question. What are you working on now?
I decided here in Calgary that I need to sort of stop traveling with 80 letters because it would take, you know, so much energy and so much time. I need to work. And I have like 3 or 4 ideas, topics. There's a book I would like to adapt, and I just need to make my mind up what to do next. But I didn't have time and didn't have the concentration I would need to do so. So this is like I have to stop traveling and start to work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.